I am giving this presentation on behalf of a team at UC San Francisco, myself and Lindsay Docto, as well as a team at RAMP, the Regional Asthma Management Prevention Program. And here we have Ann Kelsey Lamb, who is one of the contributors to this effort. So this is really a talk more about evaluation than it is about program, but so that you understand the evaluation and why we designed it the way we did, we talk quite a bit about the paper, the program itself. So by way of background, for those of you who are not familiar, the CDC has a major initiative called REACH, which is the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health, which started around 1999. This is a project that was established in recognition of the role of social and economic environmental factors that contribute to disparities in health in this country. So REACH overall, which has multiple components, is designed to incorporate community-based participatory approaches to identifying need and adopting strategies for addressing social factors that contribute to disparities. And within that is a program called SEED, which is Centers of Excellence in the Elimination of Disparities. There are 18 SEEDs throughout the country, of which RAMP is one of them. And SEEDs were established as a sub-program of REACH to support local activities to support local community efforts to address disparities, specifically inequitable distribution of resources, as well as harmful exposures that contribute to disparities. Now, I wanted to speak a little bit about RAMP so that you understand this organization. RAMP has been around since 1996. And it has a primary focus around promoting strategies to reduce the burden of asthma in disproportionately affected communities. RAMP bases its analysis and then, therefore, its interventions and techniques on a socio-ecological approach, which integrates views of individual, community, and societal spheres as they influence health. And RAMP employs interventions that are designed to address a range of settings in which asthma either appears or is propagated, including homes, schools, and childcare settings, clinical settings, and the outdoors. RAMP employs, all of RAMP's work is informed and utilizes four major strategies. These are expanding knowledge, creating linkages, providing technical assistance, and advocating for systems change. In terms of RAMP as a SEED, which is one major focus of their work, RAMP's work focuses primarily on African American and Latino communities in the San Francisco Bay Area, and focuses on both, in mirroring what SEED set forth, the removal of immediate threats, health threats that contribute to, or threats associated with asthma, as well as eliminating the root causes and disparities of inequities. And RAMP does this by working to support others in their efforts. So RAMP, in many respects, is a support mechanism through those strategies that I pointed out to you a moment ago around expanding knowledge, creating linkages, and providing technical assistance. But RAMP also is responsible for its own advocacy on its state, local, and regional level. This is a model of RAMP, the framework that RAMP employs, and I just want to bring it to your attention that it is in the packet of information that I sent. And some of these that are complex and have a lot of information, there's a special page for these just so you can have a chance to actually look at it because the print can be small. But just a brief overview of this model. You can see on the far right-hand side is the disease outcomes that are associated with asthma. To the left of that, the blue boxes, are various factors that contribute to asthma, of which genetics is one in which interventions, certainly at a community level, are not going to be particularly satisfactory. So that's not an area in which RAMP focuses its attention. But those different boxes to the further left, risks, daily living conditions, political capital and power, as well as social inequalities, are arenas in which RAMP has targeted efforts to, as I pointed out earlier, to address the underlying root factors that contribute to disparities in asthma. The purple boxes represent partners that RAMP has that are with whom RAMP works to begin to do these interventions. And RAMP's work then in the yellow boxes are those different components that I talked about earlier, the strategies, the core strategies around advocating for systems change, creating linkages, advocating for systems change again. And you can see from this model where, in fact, that emphasis is placed. Let me turn for a moment now to the evaluation itself. And the evaluation, we were given a charge by the CDC, as all others who evaluate this these seeds, to look at RAMP's performance as a seed, and specifically to do two things. One is to look at RAMP's effectiveness in developing and disseminating coordinated and comprehensive models of asthma management and prevention, and also to look at the impact of the work that RAMP does on lasting systems change towards reducing and asthma disparities and eliminating inequities. This is a very conventional model of evaluation that we've and many others start from, and you can imagine all the different points, this being a linear model building on the inputs over time, the inputs and steps that RAMP brings to the endeavor, the strategies, both specific and general, that they bring to their interventions. Then we identify measurable outcomes and as well as the impacts. And then the evaluation, so this implies that it's an end product. In fact, the evaluation is an ongoing effort in this project so that there's actually feedback that happens at every juncture of the evaluation. It's not something that's at the very end. So evaluation of policy and advocacy. So traditional evaluation oftentimes is built on a medical model of a specific problem and an intervention, and that one can trace the intervention or the impact of the intervention on that outcome. In this case, because RAMP is involved in a lot of different activities that don't have clear outcomes, at least in the short run, as well as the fact that that they're using multiple interventions involving multiple partners, we can't just adopt a traditional model of evaluation. And so instead, we look, and then let me just give you an example of why that's the case. Here are the stages of policy change that have been developed that many of you are familiar with. This implies, of course, that policy change is a circular, iterative process that one can, that's almost predictable, when in fact, of course, it's not, and that because of political environments or economic environments or other factors, in fact, one can get stalled at any of these different stages. Within the life of a project, it's conceivable that, in fact, you'd never actually get to the end of a policy reform actually being adopted. So when one's looking at policy change and trying to evaluate impact and effectiveness of the interventions, it requires a little bit different models of evaluation in order to get at these questions. I'm going to pass on this because It's in your packet, but this gives an example of some of the issues that we have in terms of how within that model policy change, what are the kinds of topics that one would be looking at from an evaluation point of view. So therefore, we're at a point where we have to develop a model that is built on acceptance that policy change may not occur within the project time frame, that allows for incremental progress as acceptable outcomes, not just the final outcome of improving health status or reducing disparities, for example. Includes flexibility in design so that as the project itself has to shift its emphasis or be adjusted to respond to changes in the political or economic environment, then the evaluation can do so as well. And acceptance that policy successes may not actually be attributable to any one organization or individual that's working on that project. So we designed an evaluation that had was based on some principles. The first principle is one of flexibility, again, so that we were, as evaluators, were able to make changes in our evaluation as the project itself changed. We incorporated not just long-term outcomes, but also process and intermediate outcomes, in acknowledging that there might be iterative or incremental change. We built in regular feedback to RAMP to maximize the effectiveness so that as we learned from our work, we were able to feed that information back to RAMP to maximize the chances that the project would be successful. We developed a broad view of policy that not only included legislative change, but also organizational change and regional regulative change. And we also built in analysis of lessons learned so that it could not only help RAMP and other organizations with which RAMP works to build on the information and the lessons, but also for other organizations that are interested in social determinants of health and how that information can be applied. So let me just talk briefly about what we did. We focused in on three different objectives that RAMP's work. RAMP actually, I think there were five objectives of which each objective, I'm sorry, there were five goals that RAMP established for this project, of which there were three to four objectives associated with each, and within each of those objectives there were several activities. So this was a very, very large project, and with resources available to us, we couldn't possibly look at it all, or if we tried to, we would only be able to do it in a superficial way. So we agreed instead to just zero in on three different representative objectives and considered these, treated these as case studies so we could look at them in depth. In your packet, again, is this table. I won't go to it in depth, but what you see here is that within each of the objectives that we looked at, there were a series of evaluation questions, and this is simply representative of those that were associated with the first objective we looked at. But for each of them, we wanted to look at what did RAMP do? What actually happened? Did RAMP do what it said it was going to do? And we had to emphasize that in part because that was a pretty clear-cut thing that we could look at when a lot of the outcomes were potentially more ambiguous. We wanted to understand what the outcomes were of that activity that RAMP accomplished, and then ultimately what the lessons were learned. And so for each of the questions that we had a specific outcome that we were looking at. Now, one of the challenges we had here, of course, as you do with most evaluations that don't have clear measures, it requires both qualitative and quantitative data. And in this case, we were at a loss in some respects because of the activities that were undertaken. We didn't have a measure of reduced disparities to look at because we knew that that was not going to be achieved within the time frame of the project. So instead, we had to look at both a more immediate qualitative and quantitative measures and create a mix of those. In addition to this mixed method, we also incorporated, as I implied earlier, regular reporting back to RAMP as well as RAMP's stakeholders and the community at large, so that when we had findings based on surveys or based on series of interviews, we immediately provided that information to RAMP. But we also synthesized that data, all of the different data sources, periodically to provide information to RAMP as well as to the community, to other stakeholders, and the various other ways of disseminating information. Now, I want to just emphasize here that this project, not unlike others that have complex inputs, measures that are not clearly defined, either in the literature or in that are measurable, we always had this balancing act of having to look at both the qualitative data and the quantitative data, and melding them together, ultimately apply some judgment to the findings and the themes, and then produce what were conclusions or ultimate findings. Now, I just wanted to point out really quickly that this, just to say this in another way, from an evaluation point of view, we had to develop analysis rules because we had different data from different sources, sometimes which was contradictory, frankly. There would be sometimes differences of opinion, and sometimes the qualitative data would not be substantiated by the quantitative data. And so we established for ourselves analysis rules. And those were that findings from any of the different sources that we had to be confirmed from at least had to be confirmed by two sources and ideally three. The themes we generated from interviews, which was a major source of data for this project, we only captured themes when they came from multiple sources, multiple voices. So we had a formula that we used to determine whether or not it in fact represented a theme. Ultimately, as I implied, conclusions were based on findings and themes merged together. And when, in fact, there was a conflict or when there was some uncertainty there, we, as the independent evaluators, had to assess and weigh the body of information we had to reach our conclusions. Let me just give you some very, very quick findings from this evaluation. And I want to emphasize that we're still in the process of writing up the evaluation. So these are somewhat general findings at this point, and the report is very, very detailed and has a fair amount more. So treat this as a very general. As part of these general findings, we found that from all the different sources that we spoke to, that there was appreciation for the thoughtfulness and the intelligence with which RAMP had applied, first developed the framework that I talked about earlier, as well as articulated and applied it to its work. And that RAMP is an organization in the Bay Area and California generally that's well known for its emphasis on prevention, for bringing that message to the table and in many different arenas, and for bringing also to the table the topic of social determinants of health. So this is among different players who may not have a health background, may have an environmental justice background or a regulatory background, but RAMP's focus on prevention and social determinants was always a welcome addition to this discussion. The staff is well known and well liked and appreciated for their knowledge and their professionalism. And RAMP has, over the years, become a much bigger player in the policy world. And RAMP, one of their major focuses, as I indicated earlier, was around technical assistance. And RAMP is really appreciated for the technical assistance that it provides, particularly short-term technical assistance. Ramp is the go-to place in California on asthma, and particularly asthma policy issues. Ramp is working on becoming the go-to place on inequities and inequities policies, but is not quite there yet, according to the sources with whom we spoke. Ramp is also a respected partner, which is a really important underpinning of the kind of work that Ramp does. Ramp is working towards becoming a leader on moving the agenda of inequities and has not quite reached that leadership role, but with some very important exceptions around freight transport in the Bay Area. Ramp is committed to engaging diverse stakeholders, and we found that Ramp's work would benefit from even expanding that network to more individuals and organizations that represent the community. Ramp is a source of a broad range of information and is well known for its technical information on asthma and asthma policy. And we found that there could be some greater work on translating that technical information for various audiences. Let me just quickly run through a few things about the evaluation, because we learned some things about the evaluation. One of them is that the design that we created that I talked about at some length around flexibility and the intermediate outcomes feedback, a broad view of policy, this was really important and it worked well in this circumstance. But there is a need to continue to work towards having even sharper measures that can be applied not just in this project but in other projects, because there's always room for interpretation, and to the extent that we can eliminate that room for interpretation, it's always an improvement. We did focus in on three objectives of multiple objectives, and we did that for good reason, but we may have chosen the wrong ones, and that's a question that we'll continue to ask ourselves. And then finally, we spoke with our informants, were people that knew Ramp well, which was a convenience and made sense because they could speak intelligently about their experience with Ramp. On the other hand, it did limit us to people who were familiar with Ramp's work, and we may have gotten different answers or different interpretations otherwise. So we're not going to ask for questions at the moment, because I think we're going to put them off till the end. Thank you.